Today we have last series focused on the fourth commandment, last of the sermon series, asking the question, what is the Sabbath? Is it setting aside a day each week to celebrate and remember the story of our lives, how he's provided for us, forgiven us, and healed us? Is it making time to worship and give praise to God in thankfulness for his many blessings? Is it spending time away from everyday distractions to listen, pray, and seek direction through his word? Is it about discovering the teachings of Jesus for ourselves, expecting his correction so we can better walk in his ways? Is Sabbath a long-standing tradition that has diminished in importance as a common practice for believers? Is it about serving and helping others where there is need? Is Sabbath rest relevant for the Christian today? The answer is yes to all of the above. Last week, I gave you one definition of Sabbath, of making time apart from our worldly passions to breathe in the very breath of God, to intimately discover Jesus as our Savior, and to personally experience the Holy Spirit, the giver and sustainer of life. Today we hear the gift of the Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While one could argue if a biblical Sabbath still maintained in the Jewish community is no longer a Christian mandate, it is clear that Sabbath rest is imperative to the health and well-being of the one who chooses to follow Jesus. The words in Hebrews chapter 4, which is where we'll be in our text today, verse 10, remind us of the need for a pattern of rhythm and work and rest, one that God himself set in practice. It says, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. We would all agree that work is an important part of life, and if well proportioned to rest, it can bring lasting benefits with great blessing. Yet without it, we can begin to wear down both physically and spiritually, negatively affecting our relationships with others, our coworkers, those we love, and our friends, our church family, and most importantly, our relationship with God. One thing I have noticed as I get older is that I wear down faster physically. Maybe you've noticed the same thing. My need for rest and recuperation becomes more noticeable when I do not get as much rest as I need. I often become impatient and irritable towards family and friends. Many nights I collapse into bed exhausted and sink into the mattress from the weight of the day's work. So the older I get, the more I cherish rest. The same is true for the spiritual part of my life. You see, without Sabbath rest, my Christian walk suffers, my work can become taxing, and it becomes easier to stray from the things that matter and move toward things that have little lasting value. One of the keys to winning the Daytona 500 is to stay out of trouble and free from incident. Pit stops help prevent this and are crucial for maintaining safe fuel levels, tire changes, and other car-winning adjustments. Do you know during a typical pit stop, the crew will change four tires, add 18.5 gallons of fuel, and make winning adjustments in less than 10 seconds? Pit stops are required as well for the people of God in maintaining a healthy, balanced, and effective Christian life. So we can be more fully focused on the will of God, taking the time to refuel, keeping in check regular spiritual disciplines, and understanding our deficiencies. Therefore, creating a rhythm and work of rest will not keep us from trouble, but it can help us to keep us out of trouble. So let me clarify two things about Sabbath rest that are important. First, it is not the same as taking a vacation, although it may be part of it. Who has ever come back from vacation and needed rest? Had so much planned, been so tired, and you come back and, man, I need a vacation from the vacation. So the first, it's not the same as taking a vacation. Secondly, it is not resting from God. It is not taking summer off in the church or reading our Bible. It is, though, ceasing from things that occupy our minds and our regular routine so that we can more fully focus on the will of God. It is ceasing from things that occupy our minds in our regular routines so that we can more fully focus on the will of God, which we are to carry out in our Christian life. It is finding rest in God. Who would agree that life sometimes seems like a zoo? Well, I heard the story of a zoo, I believe it's in Ohio, that one day a month, they shut the zoo down. There is no human in the zoo at all. They don't do that to give their workers rest. They do it to give the animals rest from humans, because they discovered, psychologists did, over a long period of time, that animals would lose some of their characteristics being around humans all the time. One of my good friends, Jeff Greenway, said, sometimes you just got to close the zoo. There's a story of a photographer snapping a picture of a first grader in elementary school, making small talk to put them at ease. He says, what are you going to be when you grow up? He asked one little girl. Tired, she said. Evidently, she had been watching all the adults in her life, working long hours, busy with a million things, and always running around from place to place. She concluded she was going to be just like them, tired. Now, the Bible is very clear we need rest. And Sabbath rest has a greater purpose, to teach us something about ourselves while we're learning more about God. So why do we need a rhythm of work and rest? Well, if you turn to your Bibles, and invite you to, again, to be in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament toward the back, chapter 4, we'll see the believer is promised God's rest both in this life and the life that awaits them. The writer of Hebrews gives words of warning to the Gentile and Jewish converts to Christianity of the first century. Verse 1, it says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And in verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. You see, pit stops are required so that when we fall or fail, we don't fall too hard, so that we are not led astray from the truth. You see, being in ministry, both as a youth pastor and a church pastor, I've discovered this about people. There's often a whole lot more going on in their lives than we know about. The person sitting next to you, the person listening, your neighbor, there's more below the surface. On October 25th, 1999, a twin-engine Learjet took off on its way to Dallas, Texas. Over Gainesville, Florida, the plane should have made a left turn toward Texas. Instead, it veered off toward South Dakota. Repeated attempts to contact the pilots were met with deafening silence. Five F-16s were dispatched to go up and make visual contact with the runway jet. Finally, two were able to pull within 50 feet. The pilots reported they could not see inside because its windows were iced over. The plane flew on autopilot for 1,400 miles and finally crashed into a grassy field, killing all six passengers, the most famous being the professional golfer Payne Stewart. It was a bizarre and tragic event. Suppose for a moment you had been standing on the ground as a plane flew overhead in the clear autumn sky. It's traveling fast and straight, and as far as you know, it is on course. The reality, though, is that something was desperately wrong on the inside, and it was headed for disaster. So the question, why do we need Sabbath? Because without it, our fate can be similar. Intentionally resting in God, while it has its physical benefits, gives us spiritual strength to keep on course, heading away from disaster. See, the writer of Hebrews warns of the fate of the believer who soars through life at breakneck speed, giving every outward appearance of being on course, cruising on autopilot. To others, it seems they have it all together, but on the inside, there is a crisis brewing. In spite of appearances, they are on a collision course with disaster. One reason can be a lack of intentional rhythm of work and rest in their life. You see, this weekend, many are able to be away to celebrate Labor Day. Yet for others, the zoo is still open. Therefore, a pattern of work and rest is deliberately needed in today's fast-paced way of life. And folks, it is not going to get better. But the good news is, verse 9 tells us, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The promise of entering his rest still stands. We only have to claim it for our lives. Many in this growing first century community did not. The message they had heard was of no value to them. They did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. They are reminded of the disobedience of their ancestors, how the grumbling in the desert and the lack of trust in God's provision led them away from the rest in promised land. The Israelites spoke back in Exodus, said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There they sat around pots of meat. They ate all the food they wanted, but you brought us into the desert to starve. You see, because their hearts were hardened, and their grumbling did not cease, they were left out of God's promise. He says, they shall never enter my rest. You see, human failure was not caused by God's lack of keeping a promise. It was their disobedience and unbelief in the provision of God. Making time to listen to God in our Sabbath rest strengthens our dependency upon Him for when times get difficult, increasing our faith for when faith is all we have. See, the good news is the promise still stands. So what is our reason for entering the rest? What is Sabbath rest today? Let me give you a few things to think upon. First, Sabbath rest is a reminder of a powerful promise kept. The writer, quoting from Psalm 95, chapter 95, verse 11, says, "Yet it still remains for some to enter that rest." Verse 6, I'm sorry. "Even in his anger against a wayward people, he did not revoke his promise of entering the land, bringing rest to another generation. The fruit of the promised land, a promise of rest, is still ours to receive today, as it was for the next generation of Israelites." In Ezekiel 3, verse 3, we see the prophet says the words that God said to him, "Son of man, eat the scroll I have given you and fill your stomach." So I ate it, I tasted it, it was sweet as honey in my mouth. You see, when we make time to sit with Jesus, to taste his word, to take into our mind, our heart, and soul his promises, we receive the blessings and rest of God. Psalm 34, 8 said, "Blessed is one who takes refuge or puts trust in him." Joni Erickson Tada, who was had a diving accident when she was in just out of high school, shared one time a story when she was traveling down the road in her van, her husband driving, and she began to cry. She was on her way to an event to share and speak. She's an author and speaker. And she says, "I can't do it today. The pain is unbearable." But she remembered at that moment what a friend told her. "If you ever find your place, yourself in this place, think upon the promises of God." And she began to quote over and over in her head all of the promises she knew about God. "I will never leave you and never forsake you. I love you with all of my heart. I am an everlasting God," and so on and so forth. She began to repeat those. She eventually came to a point where she told her husband, "It's okay. Turn around. God promises to be with me." She writes this about that: "How good it is to be able to put your finger on any promise from the Word of God and call it, make it, and reserve it as your own. You see, when we rest on the promises of God, we taste and see the goodness of the Lord." So number one, a reminder of a powerful promise. That's what a Sabbath is. Number two, it is a present place to enter. Verse 7 in Hebrews says, "God again said a certain day, calling it today. Today, if you hear this voice, come to me with your open hearts." Now today here means this day. It means a present place and time. We say it in our scripture, in our Lord's Prayer. Jesus wrote of it, Matthew 6, 7, "Give us this day our daily bread." Don't put off till tomorrow what should be done today. Jesus rested, yet he never stopped working for the will of his Father. In fact, he caused much trouble for working on the Sabbath. He worshiped, he taught, he healed, he picked grain so others would not go hungry. He set people free, he prayed to God on the Sabbath. He was present with God and with the people who needed him. You see, Sabbath rest doesn't mean that we are lazy. It means to cease to doing whatever we do for our own needs and tend to the needs of others at times. Do today what you can by entering into the will of God so tomorrow another may find present rest. So it is for us a place. Number two, three, it is a perfect peace to know the assurance of the future. Verse 10, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work." Sabbath rest is taking in the peace of the moment, resting on the silent assurance of God's greater will and good to yet be accomplished. You see, fear of the people of the land kept the people of God from entering it. Therefore, they did not find true Sabbath rest. To find true rest sometimes means we must go to difficult places, a hospital visit, a funeral home. We must face someone who has hurt us to forgive them. So we can find perfect peace in the assurance of God's greater love. You see, Jesus could have run from the Garden of Gethsemane, yet he didn't, because he knew that especially there his Heavenly Father was, and there he would find perfect peace. Rest, we must intentionally go to it so we can find it. make time for it so we can experience it and be ready for it. Number four, Sabbath is a pending promise to come. We are a people in waiting. Verse 11 says, therefore, make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will perish. Eternal rest is not only ours to know today, it is God's promise of the future. Final rest for the one who puts their trust in him, everlasting Sabbath rest. You see, when Christ comes again in full glory, when all is restored, when all who make every effort to stay in obedience by following Jesus' example will only by grace enter into the eternal promised land, into his promise to come. Sabbath rest then is fulfilled in Christ. When we make time to sit at the feet of Jesus, we are reminded of his powerful promise. We enter into a present place with him, and we come to know perfect peace, leading us to live a life of hope, trusting in the pending promise. You see, pit stops are required, times to get refueled, times for faith checkups, so we can get back in the race working for God to bring him glory and helping others to know the same. What is your rhythm of work and rest? Do you have one? What do you need to cease from doing so you can start experiencing Sabbath rest? For us, my wife and I, Mondays is Sabbath. No electronics, no social media, or TV. Where can you find rhythms of rest in your work? Is it worth 15 minutes a day? Is it worth one day a week? Is it worth 1 week a year so you can have Sabbath for life? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So folks, sometimes you got to close the zoo so you can taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Jesus is ready and waiting for you to make time so you can know true rest in God. Sabbath rest is a gift given. It is only ours to claim. In Jesus' name, amen.